Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not in him. Jesus replies, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born again when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at what I am saying. You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man.
I'm sure you'd heard people say that person is a born-again Christian, or that phrase comes up in the media sometimes, doesn't it? Born again. What do we mean by that? Well, of course, we all have a natural birth, don't we? Whoever we are, we entered this world totally dependent on others. And even the most famous people started life as little babies. So just for a bit of fun, we're going to look at some famous people as babies, and you can tell me who they are. That's the Queen. Well done. There she is. Prince Charles. Very good. Doesn't look like that now. That's right. So we've gone through three generations. Whether Charles will ever be king, I don't really know. It's 70, is it this week or next? He's 70, isn't he? He's been waiting a long time, hasn't he, to assume the throne. Who knows whether it will be him or it will go to William. Who do you reckon? Come on, let's have a guess.
You.
No, it's not me. Nice try. Anyone? Yeah. Who does it look like? Wayne Rooney, who they conned to have another appearance this week. 120 appearances for England. Lewis Hamilton, it's not, no. Tiger Woods, it is. With his Nike smile. No, it's not Winston Churchill. Still looks a little like this. It's Sir Tom Jones. And the final one. Yes, Donald Trump. Okay. So we all have a natural birth, but Jesus said to Nicodemus, and indeed he says to each one of us, you must be born again. Being born again is at the heart of what this kind of church teaches. You see, as I said with Margot, nobody is actually born a Christian. We don't inherit being a Christian down through our genetic line. It's about each of us coming to a personal understanding and then coming to a personal faith in God for ourselves and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Nicodemus was a Jew, a very strict Jew. He had been probably brought up through the Jewish faith. And he had a what we would call a privileged background, learning lots about God. And he had grown up to become Israel's chief teacher, the chief rabbi. He taught people about God. And yet Jesus says to him, this chief rabbi, you must be born again. Nicodemus, you need to come to your own personal faith. You need to have your sins forgiven. Despite your Jewish background, Nicodemus, you need to become a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, Nicodemus realized that Jesus was somebody really quite special. Because we read in verse 2, it says, he came to Jesus at night and said to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. He'd heard and he'd perhaps seen some of the signs and the miracles that Jesus was doing. And he, the chief rabbi, was coming to Jesus and calling Jesus, Rabbi, you're the teacher. He came at night to see Jesus. Why did he come at night? Well, he came in secret. He didn't want the other Jews to know that he was going to talk with Jesus, because they were already being critical of Jesus. He didn't want them to know that he was mixing with Jesus. And in him coming, Jesus said to him in verse 3, very truly, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. You need to be born again, Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus, to all intents and purposes, was a God-fearing, good-living, upright man. He was a devout, religious man. He was Israel's chief teacher. It was his task to impart knowledge to others, but he realizes that there's something special about this new teacher, Jesus. He comes willing to learn from Jesus. He comes with an open mind to the teachings of Jesus. I wonder, do we come to this service this morning with an open mind? You might come here regularly. You might just be here today as a one-off supporting the family. But have you ever seriously considered who Jesus is and his teachings? Perhaps Nicodemus thought if he could find some new teaching of Jesus that he could then incorporate into his own teaching, that would be great if he had something new and fresh to say. If he could find an add-on for his ministry, that would be great. In modern computer terms, we might say Nicodemus was looking for an upgrade. Okay? He's looking for something dynamic for his teaching. He wanted to move to this higher spiritual plane that Jesus seemed to have, whatever it was. But I believe Nicodemus was trying to work his way into heaven by his good deeds. By the things that he said, by the life that he lived, he thought that would be enough with God. But Jesus says to him, no, Nicodemus, that won't do. You cannot even see the kingdom of God unless, what? Unless you are born again. Now, poor old Nicodemus is a bit confused. What do you mean? Can I climb into my mother's tummy a second time? It was hard enough for the poor lady the first time. Imagine giving birth to a full-sized man. Or perhaps you'd have to have a major cesarean, I don't know. But it doesn't seem to make sense. What, me, a fully grown man, to be born again? So what does Jesus mean? Well, it means a transformation of his life. You know, you're brought up with this as children, how a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, right? So we could effectively say that that caterpillar has two lives, couldn't we? What, one as a caterpillar munching amongst the leaves and eating as much food as he possibly can. And then it goes into that cocoon experience and then emerges to a second life as a butterfly. So you can kind of sense what it means then to be reborn. It's like a second birth, isn't it? To become a butterfly. Now Nicodemus is not really that stupid. He must have realized that Jesus didn't really mean a physical rebirth. But Nicodemus, I believe, has a problem with the concept of being reborn, because actually in Jewish thinking, he was as reborn as it was possible to be, for him to be. There were six ways in Jewish thinking that you could be reborn, you see. Six different things that could happen to you that were like a new life starting over. The first way was for a Gentile to convert to Judaism. Nicodemus was already a Jew, so that wasn't going to happen to him. But if someone who wasn't a Jew started thinking about and taking on board the Jewish faith and accepting that for themselves, that was one way you could be thought of as being reborn from a Gentile to a Jew. So that didn't apply. The second way that you could have a new life, was to be crowned as the King of Israel. If we think about our own queen, up until 1952, she's just a princess, none of the real focus is on her. Then suddenly her father dies and she becomes our queen, and it's like a new life has started for her, isn't it? It's like, you know, she's into a completely different chapter of her life with all the responsibilities of that. And so it was in Israel. If someone stepped up to become the King of Israel, then that was like a rebirth into a different life. The third way to be reborn, according to Judaism, was to have your bar mitzvah, your coming of age at around the age of 13. You went from being a child suddenly to a still a child, really, at 13, aren't you? But a child with reason, responsibility. It was a coming of age, a step up in life. So that was the third way that you could be reborn, and that he had already happened to him. Okay. Now the fourth way that someone could be reborn was marriage. My son got married in September, and it's a bit like a rebirth into a different chapter of your life, isn't it, when you get married? When you're single, you do your own thing, you have your own responsibilities, but when you suddenly get married, you step into an entirely different phase of your life with all the responsibilities that surround that. Was Nicodemus married? Well, almost certainly yes. Because history shows that any Jewish ruler serving on the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, had to be a married man. That was a legal requirement in their law. So he would have already been married. So number four, he fulfills that. The fifth way that you could be born again in Jewish thinking was to become a rabbi, a teacher. When I was in my mid-20s, I had an ordination where I suddenly assumed the title as a church minister with all the responsibilities of that. So that's, again, another step, isn't it, out of one life into something else. And it was the same in Israel. If you became a rabbi, you were said to have been born again into a new sphere of life and service. And the final way in Jewish thinking that you could be born again was to become the chief rabbi. You became the Archbishop of Canterbury. Okay? That's effectively what this man's role was, the head of the Jewish people, the Jewish religious order. That was who this man was who came to Jesus. Nicodemus was as born again as a Jewish man as it was possible to be. And yet Jesus said to him, "You must be born again." So perhaps Nicodemus was being sarcastic when he said, "You know, do you want me to climb into my mother's womb again? What else can I do? All the other bases are covered." I wonder, perhaps this morning as you're here, do you actually think, do you consider yourself to be a Christian? Perhaps you don't, and that's fine, you haven't thought about it, but many people do. They would say, "Well, you know, I was brought up in something that was traditionally a Christian country. I'm as Christian as anybody else, in fact, more Christian in many ways, in the way that I act, in the things that I do. If God's going to, you know, weigh up my life, then he's going to say, well, you did do more good than bad, so you'll be fine." That's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us you must be born again. You must, just as Nicodemus, you must be born again. Flesh gives birth to flesh, as we've seen with little Margot. But the Spirit of God coming into a person's life is what actually changes them to become a Christian, to be a believer. God challenges someone in their life, and they put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. And Jesus goes on to explain what he means by some of the best known verses in the Bible in John 3:14-18. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, there's an Old Testament story where they'd been bitten by snakes and they looked up to a bronze snake, and God said if they looked up to the bronze snake that they could be cured of their snake bites. So that's that story. So just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus was going to be put on a cross, on a torture stake, if you like, that everyone who believes may have eternal life. Jesus was going to die on the cross so that we might have eternal life. And it goes on, this is probably the most famous verse. I'd be amazed if anybody has never heard of it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son," that's Jesus Christ, "that whoever believes in him shall not perish," not go to
eternity outside of God, "but have eternal life."
God did not send his Son Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, through his death on our behalf. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." You see, it's all about Jesus. It's all about me, Jesus is in effect saying to Nicodemus. It's all about whether you believe in my death on your behalf. Will you look to me, Nicodemus, and believe? Will you have this new way of life, this new birth?
For someone to be born again means that we have to recognise that the Bible teaches that we're in fact all sinners, that we have all failed to reach God's perfect standard, that we actually one day deserve God's judgment on us for the sin in our lives. That's what we deserve. But God sent Jesus to die on that cross to take the punishment of our sins on himself, that he suffered and he died there in our place. If we confess our sin and we look to Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe you died for me. And that means that we then turn our lives around and start to follow Jesus Christ. We begin a new life. We're born again to become Christian believers. Did it happen for Nicodemus? I'm sure that's a question we want to ask. If Jesus said, you must be born again, was he born again? Did he believe in Jesus Christ? Did he become a Christian follower? I believe he did, because of some verses we read in John chapter 19. After Jesus had died and had been crucified, we read this. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. And he was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who had earlier visited Jesus at night. And Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 35 kilograms. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Don't know why I've got that extra bit. So Nicodemus, why would he have done that? Why would he have been involved with burying the body of Jesus? Why would he even have risked association with Jesus? Because remember that they'd just taken and crucified him. Why would he have done that if he had not personally come to a belief in Jesus Christ as his Saviour and his Lord? I believe that he had been born again. And so in closing today, we cannot make Margot a Christian, but we hope and we pray in this church that she will be born again into a personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, that's our hope for every one of you here. You might see me at the front as a minister. Let me tell you, I am a sinner just like you. I get things wrong. But I came to a point where I recognised that I was that sinner and that I needed Jesus Christ to die for me, to take my sin. And that was a rebirth. That was a rebirth by the Spirit of God. I was born as a baby by my mother. I was reborn by the Spirit of God. And that's happened to many people in this room today, where they come to understand that Jesus died for them and they've begun a new life as a follower of Jesus Christ. The motto of this church, the logo of this church is this: new life, fresh start. New life, fresh start. That's what we're talking about here this morning. Do you want a fresh start? Do you ever feel that? Do you ever feel, I wish I could just wipe the slate clean? All those mistakes that I've made in the past. That's what Jesus comes to do, to wipe that slate clean. To say, you're forgiven. You can begin a new life. And the moment you believe in him, you are said to have entered into eternal life with him. It's so certain that one day you'll go to be with him and be a part of his glory, that you, the moment you believe, you enter into that new life in him, that eternal life. That's what we long for you, whether you're regular here or just here today, is that you might find this new hope, that you might be born again in Jesus Christ. Amen.